Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to Axiata Group's first quarter 2012 results briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you would like to ask a question, you need to press star one on your telephone. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Dato' Sri Jamaludin. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. My name is Jamal. I'm the Group CEO for Axiata. Thank you very much for joining us for this first quarter 2012 investor presentation. If you noticed, we have sent you the deck of slides, which is like the last presentation, a bit different from normal, where we are not going through the whole slides. You do have all the slides, but we're going to just cover the first few slides, and then we'll spend more time on question and answer. Without further ado, let me move to the second slide. Basically, the summary slide of our quarter. We believe that we have a pretty good quarter despite strengthening of ringgit. As you can see, revenue grew 8% year-on-year, constant currency 10.4%, EBITDA 4.1%, and constant currency 6.1%. PATAMI grew 3.1% or constant currency 3.9%. You'll see in some of the charts, if we normalize that, it's 8.3%. Our cash, of course, as a group has increased quite considerably to 7.5 billion. ROIC increased by 2 percentage points to 12.4%. What is even more interesting is the operating companies year-on-year performed very well despite some of the challenges they face in the country. Specifically, data growth has been quite good in XL, Celcom, and Dialog. Our investment has kind of produced the kind of quality of service and growth required. We are also very pleased to note that the top-line growth, the revenue growth for all our goals has been pretty strong despite the fact the first quarter has always been the traditionally weak quarter. Moving to the slide three, let me just do a couple of highlights for each of the operating companies. Celcom performed very well on a year-on-year basis of 10%, EBITDA 4%, PATAMI 7%, normalized PATAMI 7%. Broadband still growing at 15% year-on-year with advanced data, which is data including VAS but excluding SMS, grew 12% year-on-year. Interestingly enough, also voice grew again 7%. This is the second quarter growth of the voice. As you know, at one point in time, voice was declining. That's good news for Celcom. On XL also, we grew on a year-on-year basis 9%, EBITDA 1%, normalized PATAMI 3%. On a pure data in this case, a bit of highlight, that is just data minus SMS and VAS, it grew 71% year-on-year, and our contribution to revenue now has increased 18% from 12% just one year ago. Also interesting to note that voice became positive of 4% year-on-year growth. Let's move on to Dialog. Dialog grew and has found outstanding 18% year-on-year, EBITDA 27%, and normalized PATAMI 85%. Data grew 48% year-on-year, primarily because of the mobile broadband revenue. Robi grew also significantly high at 27% year-on-year, EBITDA 26%, and normalized PAT more than 100%. Data itself grew 88% for Robi. As you can see, for all operating companies, they have performed very well in almost all of the metrics. On page four, shows a couple of issues we faced last quarter. First, of course, is the, shall I say, it's by design. We are investing a lot on data, so it will have pressure on our cost and also our revenue margin. As we mentioned earlier, for the last few quarters, the rapid change of mix, of course, will affect the margin at least in the intermediate time frame. The second biggest concern that we have is, of course, regulatory. Everyone's well known about the issues we face in India and to some extent Bangladesh. Exchange rate, the third area that we faced last quarter, has affected us quite significantly. As you can see, revenue to the tune of 2.4 percentage points, and EBITDA to the tune of 2 percentage points. However, significantly are all purely unrealized losses or impact to us. Dialog specifically lost 2.1 billion rupee in terms of translation loss due to the strengthening of US ringgit against Sri Lankan rupee. So you could see the actual impact to Dialog has been quite significant. Robi, to some extent, yes, stabilized. However, currency is still not stable in the future. That's basically the key issues we faced last quarter. We do believe this will be a reflection for the rest of the year, except perhaps exchange rate, which is very hard to forecast the impact. Slide five, just a quick look at the awards and accolades we have received. We received the Telecom Asia Awards for 2 years in a row. The Frost & Sullivan, 3 years consecutively, and Forbes, the only Malaysian company to make it. I'm not sure you know the criteria. It includes many of the financial criteria over the last 5 years. So, to be the only company in Malaysia is quite an interesting award for us. And of course, the BCG Award being the top 50 of the 500 companies as the best challenger. Let me now pass to James, who will take you through a bit more detail on the financial performance. James?
Thanks, Jamal, and welcome to everybody on the call. I'm going to try to talk through some additional detail as per normal before we get stuck into the Q&A. On the Q&A, I would warn you that since Tottenham have now been ejected from next year's Champions League, we won't be taking any questions from Chelsea supporters. Okay, slide six shows the summary results for the quarter. EBITDA grew by 4.1%, as Dato just said, despite a fall in the actual margin percentage of 1.5 percentage points and 0.1% Q&Q. So this is a trend that we're seeing continuously, and is obviously a function of the fact that data is growing pretty strongly, especially in Indonesia, and it's obviously coming in at lower margins. Net operating cash flow, which is EBITDA less capex, taxes, and net interest at 400 million ringgit, is up slightly Q on Q. And we didn't mention ROIC on this chart, but ROIC and ROC are both slightly up, 0.2 and 0.1 percentage points respectively. Slides 7 and 8 show the bridge, so it shows the contribution of growth both to revenue and EBITDA. I'll turn your attention in particular to slide 8, which shows that after normalizing for the Multinet provision release, it's interesting that the share of EBITDA is roughly balanced across the group. So this is again clearly a function of the changing mix, with Excel's data business growing at more than 70% year on year, and with average data margins at Excel being still quite low, probably in the 20s, low 20s, and their voice business growing at 4% year on year. Overall margins are under a degree of pressure there. And this compares to Dialog and Robi, obviously operating in less developed markets, where EBITDA growth is either exceeding or tracking revenue growth at 18% and 20% respectively, and that's in local currency. In fact, in the case of Dialog, their EBITDA growth has been stellar at 27%. As if steadily cost rationalized across all divisions of the business. Slide 9 shows the exchange rate movement in the quarter, with all currencies depreciating versus the ringgit, including, in fact, for the first time in the last 5 or 6 quarters, Singapore dollar. So this is obviously clearly a testament to the strength of the Malaysian market. But it causes us an unhedgeable problem. We've lost 2.4 percentage points of growth to this currency issue, but we still come out as a net 8.1% or 8% revenue growth which I think is a pretty fair result for the quarter. Slide 10, not much to say on this, fairly self-explanatory. Subs continue to be upwardly mobile, with Idea Cellular, Robbie and Dialogue providing a live share of the growth, which translates in fact to 5% quarter on quarter. Slide 11 shows voice pricing across the group, and we put up a slide similar to this at the year end, and we're going to carry on doing this because I think, you know, given that we have 64% of our total revenues related to you know, voice and SMS, it's clearly very important to keep on tracking you know, for you all what's actually happening with underlying pricing. So whilst pricing is down, you can see in ringgit terms it's down 28% in terms of voice revenue per minute. We're compensating for that largely through minutes, more minutes being sold, which is up year on year 49%. Then over the page, slide 12, we're obviously keen to show you the overall Axiata picture in terms of data as a function of total revenue. So you can see voice is at 63.4%, which is down slightly on you know, on the previous quarter, and SMS growing quite strongly across the group at 10%, and data including VAS at 10% as well. So not much change in terms of the mix, despite, as I said earlier, the very strong data growth at XL. In fact, data as a function of total revenues at XL is up from 10% a year ago to around 17% at the end of Q1. Slide 13 shows you know, the bubble of investment going into XL at the moment on CapEx. So some very large numbers there in the quarter. That CapEx spend rate will continue over the next few quarters. This is the main reason, obviously, our CapEx has grown by 27% year on year. And what I'd like to say on this is that, you know, the board of XL is extremely focused on CapEx productivity. And we all recognize there's a, you know, there's a speed to market requirement, hence the need to roll out fast. But when it becomes clear to us that the yield per sub, per dollar of CapEx spent, is falling below a critical level, CapEx spend rates will step down as fast as they've ramped up. It's obviously very difficult to predict when that point will be reached, but it could take another year at this level of CapEx intensity. And a very important point to note on this is that despite high levels of CapEx being spent in the group at the moment, you know, the free cash flow is down only 16% year on year. So our CapEx is up 27% year on year, but our free cash flow is down only 16%. So this obviously reflects very strong cash generation, particularly at Celcom. With Celcom CapEx intensity being down, you know, by a couple of percentage points year on year. Slide 14 shows cash balances up strongly at 7.5 billion ringgit, as Dato mentioned. Although I should caution that number, we've got a large dividend payment of 1.3 billion in June, so that's the 2011 final dividend. I think you know, the good thing on our cash flow is that it continues to be strong despite the high CapEx and high dividends. And I know I'm going to get a comment from Kelvin on that one. So net debt to EBITDA closed out the quarter at 0.53, which I think is reasonably healthy. So in terms of our guidance for the full year, we're sticking to our KPIs, no change. Obviously, we've not worked any currency contingencies into these numbers, so that's the only caveat. You know, at the moment, we are seeing a little bit of a upturn in, or a turnaround in currency in Q2, So hopefully that trend will continue, in which case you know, we should be firmly in online to hit our KPIs this year. So we've got the usual more detailed slides in the appendices, which hopefully you will have studied. So please feel free to ask questions now, and we'll try to answer them as best we can. Thank you.
Thank you, James. We are now open for question and answers. Any questions we'll be answering, but also I appreciate any feedback on the format of the presentation. That will be also useful. So, question and answers now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question comes from Kelvin Goh of CIMB. Please go ahead.
Hi, got two questions, and I'll spare James on the question on the bit on gearing. First question is on Celcom. The you know, the MOUs have risen quite nicely. I'm wondering how much more elasticity there is in the market. First question. Second question is on Excel, or rather on how you account for Excel's revenue. Has there been any change to how you've accounted for it? In other words, I understand in the past that the tower revenues was classified as other income, or has it all been now lumped up at the top of the operating revenue? Thank you.
Sorry?
Kelvin, this is Jari.
Hi, Jari. Yes.
Okay, on the MOU rising, it was deliberate in the sense that we've been talking about voice resuscitation for a while. So that has worked. And we've got the, we've moved away from one particular campaign, we moved away from per minute to per call. As you remember, we announced this about 2 quarters back, and that has caught on fairly well. And so we don't charge the customer on the basis of the number of minutes, but we are charging the customers on the basis of the number of calls that they are making, right? The
call,
and that has helped us a lot in terms of driving the MOU. So the voice resuscitation will continue for us, and that's how we go and sustain it.
I think the other question was in the classification of tower revenue at XL.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, Adlan, are you on the call? You can hear us.
Oh, I'm talking. I think it's more on the when you account for it at the consolidated level, James.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well. Yeah. It's got the answer, I think.
Okay, it's prime buffer of the operating revenue in the top line, the 4.25 billion that we have, 4.26 billion that we have.
Does that answer your question, Kelvin?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Oh, sorry, Kelvin. It's prime buffer of the operating revenue, the top line, 4.255 billion.
Oh, so tower revenue has been reclassified to the top then,
yeah.
If I understand correctly. When did that happen?
2010.
Oh, right, okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah. Next question will come from Arthur Pineda of Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. Just 3 questions for me. I won't spare James on the balance sheet question. Obviously, your net debt to EBITDA looks quite low. Is there room for you to be more aggressive on the payout levels going forward? Or would you prefer to conserve capital for some items such as India, maybe? Second question I had is with India, an idea cellular particularly. Should it require further capital given the frequency auctions, would Axiata be involved in putting up that capital? What options are being reviewed there? And lastly, on the guidance, wondering about your guidance, as it appears to be quite conservative versus where you are actually trending in the first quarter, excluding FX volatility. Are you actually expecting things to slow down, or is it just more conservative? Thank you.
Sorry, Arthur, what's the third question?
Just on the guidance side, it seems to be quite low versus what you are running at the moment, if you strip out the FX volatility. Are you actually expecting things to slow down in the subsequent quarters?
Yeah. Okay. Arthur, in terms of your, in the order that you've asked the questions, I think in terms of our cash generation and the cash that we're sitting on the balance sheet, what we're looking to do is to certainly make our balance sheet a bit more efficient. So we're looking to try to cut some of our more expensive debt in places, deploy some of the cash. But there's certainly no plans to increase our dividend payout ratio beyond what we've already announced. We've announced tentatively 65% for next year. I think that represents a very significant step up from a year ago where we were at zero, just over a year ago. So, I think our dividend policy is sort of heading in the right direction. In terms of your second question, it's too early to say what the capital requirements of the of IDEA will be. We obviously have 20% of IDEA. We're very close to the local management, Himanshu, CEO. I've talked to him regularly, so we're reviewing the situation, but for the time being, we're not predicting any capital call anytime soon. I think the third point was on our view on FX. So whether or not we're within our KPI.
Yeah. On the KPI question, let me answer two parts for the questions. Answers. One is first a quick the principle of KPI. If you don't mind, I repeat. Our KPI has not been based on forecast. It's been on some principles. For the last few years, 08, 09, 2010, and 2011, our KPI is based on growing in most countries much faster than competition. Now, by 2012, because the penetration has been pretty high in almost all of the countries except Bangladesh, generally speaking, it's just growing slightly faster than the competition. So hence, the resultant KPIs. Now, to answer your specific question, given a constant, if it's constant currency basis, based on first quarter, of course, there's a possibility of overachieving, but I think it's too early to comment at this point in time. So we therefore, our estimate remains as within the guidance towards the KPI.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Very clear. So Arthur, on the Forex, who knows? Very difficult to say. I think on Sri Lanka, given the fact that they were pretty much pegged to the dollar over many years and they de-pegged themselves in November, December time, there's obviously been a relaxation of value there. And so we've had two major step changes down. But whether or not it's now looking more sensibly priced, difficult to say, but we would hope so. In terms of Bangladesh, as I said, in April and into May, we've actually seen a slight appreciation of the taka. But whether or not that is a trend that will continue, very difficult to say. I think as I said before, we haven't worked any contingency for Forex movements into our KPIs.
So in short, if I can summarize, the potential downside from the KPIs will come from direct regulatory impact in the case of Bangladesh, perhaps, and Forex.
Understood. Very clear. Thank you very much. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question will come from Foong Wai Lok of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, congrats on the strong Q1 numbers. I've got a couple of questions. Firstly, on Celcom, I would like to know what has been Celcom's experience from the recent tariff changes, specifically in the IDD segment. Secondly, on Celcom's data revenues, is it fair to assume that a greater chunk of the revenues would come from large screen as opposed to small screen? And is the focus on driving small screen data revenues over, say, large screen? And question for Dato' Jamal, what do you see as your key risk factors for the group currently if we were to exclude currency, which is really not in anyone's control? And lastly, question on strategy for LTE for Malaysia. Is it fair to assume it's going to be a fairly selective type of rollout? Thank you.
Okay, Fung Wai, again, from a Celcom perspective, the LTE revenue grew year on year by about 9.9%. Right. Now, clearly, with the aggression that's happening, we have marginally slowed down with respect to the Bangladesh segment. The rest of them, we are still very strong, and we'll continue to drive revenue up. Right. That's one of the reasons why you find this 9.9. But I think the market will stabilize sooner or later. Then we will probably get into the market very aggressively. Right. As far as the data segment is concerned, we've grown 12.2%. Year-on-year basis, you've seen that number. Now, there's a fair amount of focus on the small screen. The dongle business is also migrating. Some of the dongle businesses will migrate into tablets, and we've seen that clearly. And it's also good for the company as a whole because the revenue per gig is higher when they move from dongle into tablets.
Great. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you.
On the third question, the curious, apart from Forex fluctuation, the biggest one for us, the biggest few for us, related to regulatory. The first one is, of course, IDEA. All of you have heard the TRAI recommendation. But the impact for 2012 might not be there yet. Even if there's a capital call, we do not expect it to be done, to happen this year. But that's, so operationally from a P&L standpoint, it might not be an impact yet for this year. But in any case, it's just a TRAI recommendation. On Robi, the one we passed through the 2G auction, the one right now we are fighting is the tax, about 27 million, if I can, yeah, 27 million US. Whether it's within the license, the spectrum license fee or spectrum fee or outside, so that's one potential impact which we have not fully accounted for. On 3G, it could happen this year, so that is another potential risk. Well, risk and opportunity depending look at how you look at it, and also depends on the final price that they've decided. So those are the two big ones. Other than that, operationally, I think we don't expect a major change in competitive environment. I'm not saying it's going to be good, but it will not be as worse off or better off compared to last year, at least at this point in time. I hope we have answered your question.
Yep, that sounds good. Sorry, one more thing. Anything imminent on the M&A front?
sorry, we have not completed the question on LTE. On LTE rollout, as you know, we are waiting for the final approval for the 2.6 to be assigned to us. We're working on that. And we expect that to be given this year. So our rollout most likely will happen more towards the middle of next year. Yes, initially it will be selective. We are going to position it differently from a typical 3G. And also that will be, as we move towards the end of this year, we will be revealing more and more of our overall strategy. Sorry, you have another question.
Yes, sorry, last question. Anything imminent on the M&A front?
Nothing imminent at this point in time.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Next question will come from Roshan Raj of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. Three questions. First, could you share some color in terms of your thoughts on competition from Maxis and how do you expect this to evolve over the next few quarters? Second question is on Bangladesh. On your disclosure on 20 page 24, you talk about some claim of up to 245 million ringgit by the Bangladeshi National Board of Revenue. Is this going to be a credible risk for the company? And also, what are your thoughts on participating in 3G in Bangladesh? And the third question is on the group's capex for 2013 and going forward. Would you have additional colors in terms of quantifying how that amount is going to be starting next year?
So the first one.
Moving forward, this is Shazali from Celcom, sorry. On question on competition from Axis, it is readily anticipated that it will be a very fierce second and third quarter coming from Axis, given that they have announced their sponsorship of Euro for the year, and probably given it's also the Olympic year, you will see a lot of more activities coming up from them. We saw the launch of Hotlink Bagus in the first quarter, and then we saw also a very aggressive play on data, specifically on small screen and also on tablets. And also they seem to be quite aggressive in the IDD business lately. So it's going to be a very keen competition between Maxis and the rest of the other key players in the second and also into the third quarter. Thank you.
If I could just follow up on that, could you just kind of indicate how you are going to kind of position yourself to mitigate any downside impact of competition from Maxis?
I think probably if you recall, we are quite prepared in that sense, given that we have completed our whole restructuring and redemarcation of our sales territory in the last quarter of last year. Given that preparedness and also our plan for voice resuscitation, specifically in all the key states, those defensive moves have bear fruits in quarter one, despite being the most difficult quarter. We are also seeing a stronger trend from Celcom moving into our data attack at the moment. That you will see in the second quarter results when we come back in the next briefing. So we are preparing ourselves for counter defense move in the trade with respect to Maxis sponsorship of Euro. And we know there will be very much trade-based activities, on heavy on-ground activities and on-ground sponsorship that we will see from all parties. So it's going to be a very fun quarter. Thank you.
Then I think, Roshan, on your second question, you were asking about the note to the accounts in the press release number 10, material litigation, which is the 245 million ringgit, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so what this is we consider it to be a spurious claim, which we obviously will fight to the hilt. This is regarding SIM recycling. So there's a rule in Bangladesh, because of the SIM tax being levied of $11-$12 per SIM, you can't recycle them. You have to basically provide new SIMs into the market. And based on a very small sample size on audit, the government discovered that we'd recycled some SIMs, or that was the claim. So I think we're going to fight this one. So that's just a note at the moment. And the
industry.
Sorry?
The industry.
So
yeah, it's affecting the whole industry. So we're not alone. I think the other key players have been are under the same microscope on this one. In terms of CapEx. For the group, as I said before, there is a bubble of investment going on at XL. This is really to do with the accelerated rollout of data coverage based on a prioritized list of key cities and towns across Indonesia. And I think that the point at which CapEx intensity in XL falls depends on the yield equation. So as and when it's clear that per dollar of capex we're not yielding the required level of revenue from the new data customers, then we'll start seeing it fall. It's difficult to know when that is exactly, but certainly we're at 25% roughly capex intensity for the group this year. So it would be disappointing if that figure doesn't fall a bit during the course of 2013, and then it should fall at a faster rate thereafter.
Right. Thanks a lot, James. Just on Bangladesh, could you share any initial thoughts on the 3G auction? I believe there is some draft note for threshold levels of payment to be made for participating in 3G auction.
Good question. It's a bit of a moving target at the moment. We're not quite sure. The indication at the moment is that it's going to be 10 megahertz at $300 million. So that's 30 per megahertz. I think the question as to whether or not the operators need to have 10 megahertz is up in the air. So it's possible that we could hopefully go after just a smaller number of megahertz. The price is obviously extremely high for that market, and whether or not there's a business case to support that kind of pricing remains to be seen. So it's up in the air. But Aswan, do you want to comment?
Well, thank you. That said it all. I think clearly if we can get away with 5 megahertz, that's the preferred option, but it's very much in wait and see.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Next question comes from Niraj Natarajan of Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the call. My first question is for Cellcom. I'm just seeing the non-voice contribution to revenue seems to be sort of flat at 34% odd, and it seems like a mix shift between SMS and mobile data. So, and overall, the growth in that segment seems to be slowing down year over year. So, any thoughts about that? Because we've been talking about picking up the intensity in this segment for quite some time now. That's my first question. My second question is on India. Given that the regulatory headwinds are so high, are you reevaluating your, presence and interest in this market? Then, in terms of the future opportunities, any early thoughts in terms of any businesses or you may have, or any opportunities that you may have shortlisted or you're looking at specifically? That would be very helpful. Thank you.
Sorry?
Okay. On the first question of the data being flat, just to give an answer, it's true that it's flat, but fundamentally the data, advanced data, has grown by about 12%. So where it has dropped is the growth on SMS has been only 3.1%. So if I remove data, split data into two, which is SMS and advanced data has grown. Okay, that's one point. But fundamentally, in Q1, we have been sort of upgrading our network, so we could have grown probably faster, but you'll see some of the growth happening in Q2.
Okay, so just to confirm, you're not seeing really like a shift from SMS to advanced data?
The minor migrations are happening. We've got about 19% of our network, 20% of our network still on smart phones. But the impact of that with respect to WhatsApp and all that stuff is minimal at this point in time.
The other problem is the fact that, as a percentage of revenue, if you look at it from that point of view, it's also because voice, fortunately, is also increasing, it's also increased quite rapidly to 7.2% year on year. So that's also the reason for that. So it kind of dampened the percentage of revenue data. If you look at just advanced data, as mentioned by Chari, excluding SMS, data minus SMS, it has grown by about 0.5% year on year. Not much relative to brand it should be, but only because of the fact that voice has also increased quite well year on year basis.
Can I just get the exact voice percentage for Cellcom as a percent of total revenues?
It grew 7.2% as a percentage of revenue. This is voice, only voice, from 63% last year to 61.4% this year.
Correct. So Niraj, on your second question, which is Indian regulatory risk, and whether or not we're revaluing or reappraising this investment. Certainly there's no plans to make any shift on this for the time being. Dato, do you want to comment on this one?
Yeah, I guess it's too premature to comment at this point in time. The TRAI recommendation, of course, is a bit shocking for us, for the whole industry. Practically every company are having dialogue with the government. So it's really early to say at this point in time. But as you know, when we started this, we knew for a fact it would be a long-term Of course, the long term is longer than we thought it would be, but we are right now we are staying intact. On the last question, whatever we do is still extremely preliminary, and so it's not imminent at all. I wouldn't even say that anything has been shortlisted.
All right, thanks very much.
Next question comes from Prem Jayarajasingham from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and congratulations on a good set of results. Just a couple of housekeeping questions. First of all, at Celcom, could you let us know how much of revenues came from handsets, please, in the quarter? One. Number two, the provision for doubtful debts, which has increased, went to a wholesale customer. Is this by any chance in preparation for potentially U-Mobile moving out, or is this in relation to some other customer? And then moving on with regards to dividends, you know, given the cash flows being generated and the extent of cash sitting on the balance sheet, is there a chance that Axiata may consider moving to a quarterly dividend potentially? And finally, I'm still a bit puzzled with Malaysian telcos and the focus on dongles. If there's any shortage of capacity on the network, should we not be easing up on the dongle business to free up capacity and potentially push the smartphone business a bit further? Could you help me understand that dynamic, please?
I'll probably take the first two questions and the fourth question. The first question is around sale of device. In Q1, we booked $23 million as naked sales as revenue. The second question was around wholesale debts, provision for doubtful debt. We made a provision of $15 million. It's got nothing to do with U-Mobile. U-Mobile has been paying us regularly. Pretty happy with the with their payment schemes also. But there's another MVNO where we made the provision of $15 million. We are working with them to get a banker's guarantee. So once the banker's guarantee comes in, there's a possibility of reversal, but we booked that $15 million because we didn't have any BG from them. Okay. On the fourth question, are we pushing smartphones, and why are we focusing on dongle? The dongle business is flattening, as you know, and there is a huge amount of focus with respect to driving small screen. That's working well. But in terms of capacity utilization, we don't have to worry as much because today the utilization is only about 33%. So we need to go and drive even more capacity into. And if you see, Celcom is the only company which has got the most modern network. We've got single RAN all over. In Q1, we were focused on implementing the single RAN solution across. And so today the capacity utilization is only about 33%. So we have some more work to do in terms of driving more capacity into the network. Thank you.
And then on your last or your third question, Prem. What do you want to say on this one? Dividend. Certainly there's no plan at all to go to quarterly dividends. That we've announced a progressively enhancing dividend policy. We're going to be up at 65 next year, and all things going well, should be up a bit higher the following year. But there's no step change planned, and certainly no quarterly dividend planned either.
Sure. Maybe I could just clarify with Cherry. Cherry, did you say that the single RAN upgrade has been completed?
When I say completed, mostly done. We wanted to do it. We also want to get most of this done by August 31st because we've got this last mile tax benefit that's coming in. So we are expediting it. We are fast forwarding that piece even more.
Okay.
So Q1 was focused towards implementing more of it.
Sorry. So presumably the LTE upgrades, when they do come about, may not cost as much and could actually come on far faster if you need it to be.
Absolutely right. These are all completely LTE ready. To supplement what Dr. Jamal said earlier on, so all that we need to do is to spend, let's say we want to get into 100 sites or 200 sites, we spend a much smaller amount of money to go and expand.
Yeah. And sorry, maybe just one more follow-up from me. With regards to this infrastructure sharing with Digi, I understand that you guys were planning to roll out lots of fiber around the country. How's that progressing, and you know, to what extent can we expect either capex or cost savings over and above what's already been talked about?
I think what we've done is this, that we took the first 1,000 kilometers, so they took 500 kilometers, and we've taken 500 kilometers. We've started the fiberization program. In the meantime, we're also talking to Time.com and Telecom Malaysia to take some of them. So it will be a hybrid model where we will build some, we'll probably leave some from TM, and that's how we will go and expand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's progressing okay. I wouldn't say very well, but it's progressing okay. The fiberization is not cannot be done overnight, as you know. We need to get some approvals and all this stuff. So that's work in progress. But the board approved 1,000 kilometers, and that's working. That we've gone ahead and started the work.
Okay, thank you very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone, and please wait for your name to be announced. Next question will come from Claire Chin of CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just two questions from me. Firstly, you've basically guided for, I think, 5% revenue growth KPI target for this year. Could we possibly get a sense of what you're expecting in terms of voice growth as well as data growth? And if you could provide that in Celcom and XL Comindo Excel breakdown as well, that would be nice. Second question is on M&A. I mean, there's been a lot of questions on that, but I was just wondering whether Axiata could be looking to divest anything in the near term. Thank you.
Okay, so on Celcom, the voice growth will be anywhere between 1 to 2 percentage point. You know, like generally the industry trend is going down, but the voice resuscitation program for us overall has worked well. Although for the first quarter we've done about 7.2, it'll be in the range of about 2 to 3 percentage points, right? But the rest of the growth will come out of advanced data, SMS. Even the SMS space will probably be flat. And advanced data is where we get all the balance growth. Does it answer the question?
Yes. Could I have that in for XL, please?
Okay. For XL, I think if you look at actually, we don't give specific guidance for voice, SMS, or data. But I think if you look at last year's trend, voice were actually down by 7% year on year. And I think if you look at data, we actually grow by about 71% year on year. So I think moving forward, you have seen last year there was a specific reason why voice actually declined substantially due to the price competition that happened in the first half. But however, we actually see market stabilizing this year, at least in the first quarter. So we are seeing that market pricing are stabilizing, and we are also seeing that price for voice and SMS, there is competitors, industry are trying to see how we can increase and bundle price for voice and SMS. And actually, at best, I think what we would expect voice to perform a lot better this year. And I think no specific guidance, but I think at best we'll be about flat lah. And I think if you look at data, definitely it's growing. I think still, if you look at quarter one numbers, the rate of growth year on year is even better than what we experienced in quarter four. We hope that trend will continue, and hopefully that number, it will be closer to what we have experienced in previous years lah, for data.
Okay, on the second question in M&A, we have last year indicated that we are, directionally we are looking at divesting some of our non-mobile or small operations. So we have indicated that we might sell down Pakistan. We have also indicated that we are selling our Iran, a very small company in Iran. It's a regional company in Iran. So that, but generally, it's not going to be material.
Yeah, I mean, these are tricky deals, so it's taking us a bit of time, but we will expect to complete them in due course.
Well, would you foresee maybe M&A starting to sort of build up in Bangladesh? You know, there are a lot of players and regulatory environment is tough. Should that be another market which we could be watching out for as well?
Okay. From consolidation standpoint, you're saying?
Yeah.
It is possible. We did mention one of those countries that we might be looking at it. But I guess we are at the point where regulatory is quite uncertain and it's very hard to make any judgment about valuation from outside and from everybody else too. So in a way, it's quite at a standstill because of this uncertainty.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next question will come from Chung Chen Fung of BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. I've got three questions for Celcom. Firstly, on the network cost, do you expect any material savings this year from the Celcom DG network sharing exercise? And as a percentage of sales, you know, where do you see this likely trending this year compared to last year, especially once you take into account your network expansion plans? Secondly, I noticed that the mobile broadband revenue growth on a Q-on-Q basis was quite strong this quarter. What's driving that, especially since, you know, I saw that the subscriber growth wasn't really that strong. And any trends you see in the market, especially when it comes to price competition? And then thirdly, on CAPEX, can you remind me what your CAPEX will be for 2012? And how do you see that trending beyond this year? Given the fact that, you know, you've already said that you've completed most of your single RAN implementation and that your capacity utilization is only around 33% at the moment. Thank you.
Okay, the first question is around network expenses. Today we are at about 10.5%. Now, the Digi... the collaboration with Digi will get us some benefit this year, but majority of that will come next year and the year after. Fundamentally, because when we quit the place for rental, we need to pay quit rentals and all this stuff. So initially, the first year there will be some expenses associated with it. So we are forecasting about 22 million. We have baked about 22 million in terms of cost reduction this year. So that's the first question. The second question is around why the broadband has grown some. Yeah, it was about 200 million last quarter. In this quarter, it went up to about 250 million. It's about clear quarter-on-quarter growth of about 7.3, a year-on-year growth of about 15.2. Again, this business is partly because of the modernization that we have done is definitely helping us. At the same time, there is also a fair amount of focus in terms of driving the revenue up using tablets. The tablet fair that was conducted by Celcom is driving incremental revenue for us. And we are clearly also seeing that the dongle business is moving into tablet, which is also good for us in a way. So that's the second question. The third question, guidance on CAPEX. I think we said that we'll probably spend about $1 billion. I think we'll at this point in time stick to that $1 billion. If there's any further change because of LTE and all the stuff, we can come back to you later. But we'll probably stick to the guidance.
Okay, just two follow-up questions. On the network cost, as a percentage of sales, where do you see it this year? Once you take into account also the network expansion that you're doing. And then secondly, are you saying that for your mobile broadband revenues, you are taking into account the data revenues that you're generating from tablets?
No tablets.
Okay. The network cost as a percentage of sales, we are running at about 10.5. Probably we'll end up with about 10.3 by anywhere between 10 to 10.3 by the end of the year.
The answer, yeah.
The MBB revenue includes tablet, yes, it includes tablet. As long as it is a monthly plan, it is included.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question will come from Rama Maravada of Daiwa Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. One question from me, please. Can you provide some color on what are the extent of tax incentives you're going to get for at Celcom and overall tax rate at Celcom as well as the group, please?
Chari, can you...
Okay, on the Celcom side, the last mile tax incentive, we booked in some last year. We are expecting another 100, 120 million coming out of that this year too. We'll start gradually booking it. We have booked about 25 million in Q1, and till the end of the year, I think it will be anywhere between 100 to 120 million.
Yeah, do you want to comment on group effective tax rates?
Group effective tax rate will probably come in about 27-28%.
Okay, thank you very much.
Another question from Roshan Raj of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a small follow-up. Could you just share what's the tablet penetration in Malaysia at this point of time, and what are your expectations for that going forward? And just another question on LTE. What are a couple of factors that you would look forward to in terms of be that handset variety, pricing, and maybe the functionality of the handsets that you look at before actually deciding how you're going to progress with LTE?
Tablet penetration, I think, is 0.9%, isn't it, as a percentage of total subs. And on LTE, Chari, do you want to, or Dato Shaz, do you want to answer that question?
The first question is around number of tablets in the network, right? Last quarter, we had about 85,000, and this quarter, we got about 103,000 tablets in our network. The majority of them are Samsung. 68,000 is Samsung. Apple is about 27,000 tablets.
Okay.
And that translates to roughly 1% of the sub-base.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
In terms of the number of smartphones, we've got about 20%, 20.3% of smartphones on our network.
Next one is what?
Okay.
And just one other data point there. The what we would call super smartphones, so WhatsApp enabled is about 75% of that smartphone base, I think, isn't it?
Okay.
Next question will come from Claire Chin of CLSA. Please go ahead.
It's okay. My question's been answered. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks. Next question will come from Pak Sing Lee of Manual Life Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Any updates regarding the collaboration between Celcom and TM? And also, could you give us a possible guideline as to a timeline as to when you might make an announcement regarding your position with in India? Thanks.
Okay. On the collaboration with Telecom Malaysia, the HSBB stuff, HSBB has been, we call it internally Project Avatar. That's going fairly well. This is our first attempt to go and get the broadband into the home, and that's working well. There are also three or four other initiatives that we are still discussing with Telecom Malaysia. One is, again, fiberization of collector nodes to RNC and all stuff. That's a plaster trunk. That work is still in progress.
On the second question, there's no real date where we would look at our position. But of course, the one next trigger point will be when they decide with regards to the spectrum charges, apparently in a matter of weeks. So we will wait for that. So that's one trigger point. And subsequent to that, we have to add other considerations on a continual basis. So, like I said, there's no real specific date where we want to decide what to do with India. But definitely we'll be reviewing that on a constantly basis.
Okay, thank you.
Just a point of clarification for Roshan there. What we consider to be WhatsApp-enabled penetration of the total subscriber base is more like 4 or 5%.
Okay.
There are no further questions at this stage.
All right. With that, thank you very much on behalf of Axiata management team for all of you for participating in our quarterly presentation. Thank you.